Let me tell you, it's going to be way different than Ian, Pastor Ian and Jermaine speak. But Happy New Year to everybody. How's everybody doing? Okay, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, just asking you to watch over us, protect and guide us, Lord. Guide us in that right direction that you want us to go and help us to make the right decision. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a couple things. I got a couple prayers here. I know that God was telling me to I look at my phone off and on for different prayers so I could learn them. And I couldn't learn this one real quick. I got it about a week ago. And I just want to read it to you. It's about in January. Lord, as we step into January, I surrender everything to you. My fears, my hope, my plans, I lay them at your feet. I declare this to be a month of new beginnings, open doors, and unexpected blessings. When I feel lost, be my guide. When I feel weak, be my strength. When I feel anxious, fill me with your peace. No more fear, no more doubt, only faith and growth and favor. I love you, God. I promise to share this prayer with my people at church. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Okay, that kind of told me that God wanted me to do a little bit more in this year. So I got another prayer. This is another prayer. I know this is kind of crazy, but bear with me. I told you it's going to be different than the other times. When was the last time that you thanked God for everything that he's done for you? Huh? I know we had Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything, but when was the last time? I know we say thank you for our blessings. We say thank you for our healing of our bodies. Well, this is the prayer that I've been praying for the last 3 or 4 months, and it's thanking him for everything. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus just for thanking you for waking us up in the morning, because a lot of our friends don't get that chance. I thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, which we never deserved. And I thank you for the shedding of your blood for forgiveness. I thank you for the many times that you've given us your patience, especially me, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for your struggles to make me stronger and to persevere, to keep going and don't stop. I thank you for your unconditional love, Lord. And I thank you for your protection. Lord, I thank you for your healing and restoration of my body. And I thank you for your blessings. Lord, I thank you for your wisdom, the fear of the Lord. And I thank you for your knowledge and your guidance. We ask this in your precious name, and we give you all the glory. and praise your name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, that's what I wanted. That's what I pray every night for what God has done for me. So I tell you, about 37 years ago, I made a big mistake. And I see the guy sitting there that came to my house that night. Do you remember, Stu? You bought an apple pie? I remember that well. But the mistake I made, it broke my heart. And it hurt me inside that people didn't realize, because I never showed it to them. I was hurt deeply, but I hid it from a lot of people, because that's not who I was. It was a big mistake, though. And I'm going to read something else. I don't know if you've heard the paintbrush before. I keep my paintbrush with me wherever I go in case I need to cover up, so the real me doesn't show. I'm so afraid to show you me, afraid of what you'll do to me. You might laugh or say mean things to me. I'm afraid I might lose you. I like to remove all my paint coats to show you the real me, the true me. But I want you to try and understand. I need you to like what you see. So if you'll be patient and close your eyes, I'll strip off my coats of, let's see, my coats real slow. Please understand how much it hurts to let the real me show. Now my coats are all stripped off. I feel naked, bare, and cold. If you still love me with all that you see, you are my friend. If you still love me, you are my friend, pure as gold. I need to save my paintbrush, though, and hold it in my hand. I want to keep it handy in case somebody, they don't understand. So please, protect me, my dear friend, and thanks for loving me true. But please, let me keep my paintbrush with me until I love me too. So that's how I've been feeling for, God, I say 30-something years, what I've been hiding, how I felt about the mistake I've made in my life, and it hurt me deeply. And that's why I've been kind of all to myself, kind of work by myself and do this by myself, because I didn't like myself. I made such a big mistake. It really hurt me inside. And people, I didn't know if people would understand. I know God gives people a second chance, but I didn't know if people would be willing for me to have that second chance. with this church right here. Has given me that chance. You guys have stood by me for many years, and I couldn't understand why. I know there's unconditional love here, and people think that, you know, people don't change, but they do. What made me change is wisdom, the fear of the Lord. I've always feared the Lord. So that's what made me change like that. Never to make that mistake again. I don't care how many times Satan has done this or done that. Man, I see Satan all the time, the tricks he tries to play on me constantly. For almost 30 years, I saw it. And I knew what he was doing, but I wouldn't fall for his tricks. Because I fear the Lord and the consequences. See, when I first came to church, I didn't know anything about that God died on the cross for our sins and the shedding of his blood for forgiveness. I didn't know about nothing about that. But once I learned, I go, wow. But I didn't realize what I had to do after that. I always said, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me for what I've done. But that don't mean a lot of people are going to forgive you. There's a lot of people right now that still won't forgive me. And I understand, because I don't deserve it. But this church right here has made me understand it even more. I am blessed by being with you guys. And I'm so thankful that you've taken me in and been so good to me all these years. I don't deserve it. And I even tell my wife, I can't forgive myself yet. And it's been 30-something years. Why can't I forgive myself when God forgives me? I still can't do it. I don't know why, but my wife keeps telling me, you got to forgive yourself. It's hard for me. Well, you know, God, I thank God so much. So much. I didn't know it would turn out like this. I didn't know I'd have to go through. I remember coming and the pastor asked me, well, do you want to work with Pastor Jim Kleitz and work with the homeless? I go, yeah, that sounds good. I'd like to feed the homeless. But just feed them. I didn't want to have to preach to them and say any prayers. And it took me a long time to open up to say a prayer. And Pastor Jim would keep telling me, you got to do it. I kept telling him, I can't do it. Pastor Jim was such a wonderful speaker. and such a wonderful prayer warrior. And all the other guys that I met there were the same thing, and I'm not even close to them. And it made me feel way out of place, so that's why I tried to not run away, but tried to, I don't know what I tried. So I finally got to Duna, and I got on the internet, and I got all these papers that had the same thing as the preachers, same thing that's in the Bible, and I started doing it my way, because that was the easiest for me. I couldn't have a Bible there and read a scripture and then say something about it. It wasn't there in my mind. It's like, duh. I mean, is there anything in here? You know? So I had to do it my own way. And I did it for almost 20 years, maybe more, with getting things off the internet. And the same messages that Jason would give here, I'd give there down to homeless. That's the way I did it. I did it the way that I could get by. When we were at the park and it was raining, I had to set up 5 pop-ups in the rain. Sometimes I'd be there by myself, and then maybe one homeless guy would come and he would help me. And then all of a sudden, the guys that were faithful to my outreach would finally come. There's about 25 to 30 of them. They'd come and we'd huddle around this 5 pop-ups with my chairs that I brought. And I'd give the word. That's the way I did it. Then I got burned out for a while, and I took a break for about 6 months. It seems like 6 months, but it was, I think, a year, maybe a half. So I went back on Tuesdays and started preaching again to them. I was getting more comfortable, more confidence at that time. Because I know I had to go back. God was going to, there was things happening, and I know God was telling me, hey, you got to get back. There were some crises that I went through, hurts and pains that I went through, and I don't blame God one bit. It's my disobedience that hurt me. Nobody else's fault, mine. God was just trying to get my attention. So I finally did it for a while. And I got the word that he wanted me to stop doing it there. You know, you get the word from different people. And so I stopped doing it. But then I think he wanted me to come in here and preach a little bit more, but I kept waiting. Here, Jason would always come up to me and say, well, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And Pastor Jim would do the same thing, and some of the other pastors, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. But I never got that from Pastor Ian. I think he wanted me to come to him. I wasn't used to that. So I was waiting for him. I told him I wanted to do something on 1 Samuel 15 about disobedience, what happened to Saul, and about my disobedience. I wanted to talk about it. And after that, he put it on his phone, and I never heard from him but I think it was my fault. I should have went to him, right? Am I right? Yeah. See, so I've been wrong quite a few times in my life. And I've went through a lot of stuff, a lot of crisis, but I don't blame God for it. Never. I blame myself for everything I've done. Am I done? Well, I want to read something to you that I have here. And I want to see what you think. You guys hear me all right? Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourished at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I destroy careers. And cause heartaches and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. Make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who? Who am I? Come on. You're close. Some of you scholars, who am I? Devil's always involved. But who am I? The homeless couldn't get it because I read this to them. But who am I? Think about it. Somebody that destroys a church, destroys marriages. I mean, just destroys careers, everything. Who am I? Huh? No. Do I give up? You give up? I'm gossip. They call me gossip. 1,500 years ago, Pope Gregory the Great classified the sins that caused humanity to stumble in the 6th century. He looked at every sin mentioned in the Bible and boiled them down to 7. 7 categories of sin. His list of 7 Seven sins is known as the seven deadly sins. The seven deadly sins are pride, anger, indifference, envy, greed, lust, and gluttony. The seven deadly sins include nearly every kind of human sin imaginable. But there is a deadly sin that failed to be included in the list of the seven. The eighth deadly sin is gossip. All the sins of the tongue are deadly. Profanity, insults, lying, negativity, complaints, and criticism are all harmful. Gossip is a particular deadly sin. Gossip has destroyed more people, tarnished more reputations, broken more friendships, and split more churches than any sin I'm aware of. Gossip is quickly told, quickly heard, and quickly spread. Worst of all, gossip is greatly believed. People will confess theft, adultery, even murder, but no one confesses gossip. Wow. The book of Proverbs warns us of the deadly allure of gossip as well as its deadly effects over and over again. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's most inner part." Whether we admit it or not, we have a fascination with gossip. That's why talk shows and grocery store tabloids are so popular. Proverbs says that gossip is like a tasty morsel that we like to savor. Gossip is like a hot fudge sundae made with bluebell ice cream. Gossip is like peach cobbler with whipped cream. Oh man, I can have it now. Gossip is like steak and lobster. Gossip is like all-you-can-eat buffet with a dessert bar. We just can't get enough of gossip. Wow, that's scary. And we've all done it before. When was the last time that you said something to somebody and they went and told somebody else, and so on and so on? And they always add their 2 cents to it. Boy, you can hurt somebody. I had a real good friend of mine, one of my best friends, talked about me. You know how much that hurt me? My best friend. There was another guy in his garage, and we went back and forth. I didn't say nothing to him. I just agreed with him. And then I get a phone call from him asking me the same thing, because I think he had somebody right next to him wanting to hear. That hurt me real bad. What was I going to do? I didn't face him. I didn't tell him, why'd you do that? There was some reason, though. There was some reason. Anyway. Am I done? I could go on. I got pages here. Let me get let me skip a couple things here. You know, I know all the pastors talk about gossip all the time, but this is more detailed. It's got a bunch of stuff. Okay, let me see. All the sins of the tongue are deadly. Profanity, insults, lying, negativity, complaints, criticism are all harmful. Gossip is a particularly deadly sin. Gossip has destroyed more people, tarnished more reputations, broken more. I probably read that. And split more churches than any sin I'm aware of. Gossip is quickly told, quickly heard, quickly spread. Worst of all, gossip is quickly believed. People will confess to theft. I already read that. See? Hang tight. Hang tight, you guys. We know what gossip is when we hear gossip or when we speak it, but we don't often take time to define words like gossip. We want to see what God's word says about gossip. Let's take a moment to consider the meaning of gossip and its sister words as the Bible uses them. It helps us to know the meaning of the words as they are used by Jesus and his apostles in the Greek New Testament. Simply put, gossip is talking about people behind their backs. The New Testament Greek word for gossip is, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, Romans 1:29, is literally whisperer. A person who whispers behind your back with the intentions of hurting you. The Greek scholar Condit describes a gossiper as someone who pours out this poison by whispering in our ears. With the telephone, we don't even have to whisper behind people's backs. We just badmouth them over the phone without their knowing. The Bible links gossip and slander together as sister sins. Romans 1:29-30. The New Testament word slander means to spread evil of someone. When we gossip, we speak evil about people. We badmouth them. The King James Version describes people who gossip and slander people as backbiters. Romans 1:30. When we badmouth someone with gossip, we bite them behind their backs, whether the gossip is true or not. All too often, we can be like Dennis the Menace, who whispered in his neighbor's ear. Now listen good. I can only tell you this once, because my dad told me not to repeat it. Yeah, I think I've done enough, you guys. I know I have more, but it's 11:30. Father God, I just be with us, Lord, as we go our separate ways. But bring us back next Sunday. But don't let us forget the weekdays. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you.